Well, good morning, everybody. May I speak in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you very much, Sue. What a marvellous introduction for me in my first sermon here at our main 10 o'clock service. Not only have we heard the word in the gospel, but we've also heard the explanation. So thank you very much, Sue. Job done. Sermon over. Of course, I'm joking, but Sue did encourage me to say that when I said it to her earlier. I wonder, though, how many gardeners we have here this morning. I suspect, looking around you, that we have quite a few. And then perhaps you'll understand something that has occupied quite a lot of my time than probably it should have this summer. So earlier this year, I finally rebuilt my raised veg beds. Over the winter, they had rotted away, and by the time I'd replaced the timber and filled them with fresh topsoil, I'd realised I'd left it far too late to sow many of the seeds that I'd planned to. So, like many impatient gardeners, I'm sure there are none here amongst you, I took the easy option and drove off to Squire's Garden Centre and bought some young plants that were already happily growing in their pots. Among them were two chili pepper plants, or so I thought. One of them, however, had other ideas. At first, everything looked normal, and I'd wander down to the veg garden, pleased with how well my little chili plants seemed to be growing, until one morning when I looked a little bit more carefully, and one wasn't a chili at all. A stray tomato seed had somehow found its way into the pot alongside the chili. But at first, it seemed insignificant. But then it grew, and recently it sprouted all sorts of alluring side shoots sporting little yellow flowers, and it's grown some more since then as well. And today, I checked on it this morning, that tomato plant has almost completely wrapped itself around the poor, unsuspecting chili plant. What began as something tiny has quietly taken over. The stronger plant has crowded out the weaker one until it struggles for light and space and water and nourishment. So standing there, looking at this, I found myself thinking that gardens have a remarkable habit of preaching sermons before we've ever opened the Bible on occasions. Because today's gospel is much more than about sowing crops. It's, I think, more about our hidden lives. The hidden life within our Christian heart. The hidden work of God and the hidden dangers that can quietly choke that life away. And just before toddler group last Monday, Adele reminded me of another gardening compromise. Water your pots from underneath, she reminded me. It sounds so simple. If all the water comes from above, the roots have no reason to grow deeper. But if the water comes from below, the roots have got to stretch for it. They grow downwards and they become stronger. And the stronger the roots, the stronger the whole plant. A shallow rooted plant may look healthy for weeks until the first spell of dry weather without rain, or the first heat wave of our summer, or maybe the first strong breeze. And then you discover how little was holding it up. Deep roots matter. Not only in gardens, but in discipleship too. Adele also mentioned something else that every gardener dreads. She's smiling as she remembers. Vine weevils. They don't usually attack the leaves. They begin underneath, quietly, hidden from sight, eating away at the roots. By the time that you notice something is wrong above the soil, the real damage has been done and already happened below it. So we were joking about this when Patrick, with impeccable comic timing, suggested perhaps that gardeners might need their own version of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from weevils was his suggestion. I thought it was rather good, but maybe it's a bit trite for serious repetition on a daily basis. But perhaps Jesus might quietly reply, well, you're closer than you realize. Because in today's gospel, there is another character in the garden. We remember the sower, we remember the seed, we remember the different soils. But Jesus also adds, then the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. The seed is not alone. The gardener is not alone. There is an enemy in our garden. Now that can feel uncomfortable in 21st century Britain. We seem reasonably able to acknowledge anxiety or stress, historic trauma, social media algorithms, maybe even a cult of rampant consumerism. But we rarely mention those in terms of the devil's work, and yet Jesus does. And not as a cartoon character with, you know, horns and a pitchfork, not as something to become unduly afraid of, simply as a reality. A spiritual enemy whose purpose is to prevent God's word from taking root in us. How does evil usually work? Is it dramatic? Does it arrive with fireworks or thunder or lightning? Well, does it work perhaps a little more quietly, patiently, almost invisibly, rather like those weevils, rather like that tomato plant? Jesus says, the evil one comes and steals the seed before it has time to grow. Well, how often does that happen? Maybe we hear something in church that touches us. Maybe it's a line from our readings. It might be the words of a prayer or a hymn or a giving campaign announcement. And for a few moments we think, I really must pray more, or I ought to forgive that person. I must give my 10%, perhaps. Or I just need to spend more time with God. But then, by Sunday lunchtime, our phones, our emails, our news feeds, the TV, online shopping, the footy, the World Cup, certainly this morning, the endless busyness of life. Nothing dramatic happens, and yet somehow that seed has disappeared. Nothing dramatic, nothing spectacular, just distraction. And surely the devil is perfectly content with just distraction. Because distracted Christians, I think, rarely become fruitful Christians. But then Jesus spends even longer speaking about another danger also, that of the thorny soil. He says, the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. Oh, the lure of riches. Money promises security and happiness. Money offers power. If only I had a little more. If only my pension were larger. If only my investments performed better. If only I could afford this or that, then my life would be perfect. Wealthy nations might be tempted to push poorer nations into peace deals because of their wealth of power. And yet surely money makes a promise it cannot keep. It can buy some comfort, but it can't buy world peace, as we know. It can buy a game or some TV entertainment, but not enjoyment, because that comes from inside us. It can buy a house, but it can't build a home. It can buy medicine, but it can't buy us eternal life. Money is, indeed, a wonderful servant, but it is surely a terrible God. On reflection, I'm sure you agree with me. And perhaps that is exactly what happened in my veg bed. There is nothing wrong with tomatoes. The problem is, mine was simply just growing in the wrong place. It was choking something else. And that is exactly how things that appear good on the surface can become a bit dangerous. Career, success, possessions, even family. All great gifts from God, until they quietly take over the place that belongs to God alone. And then they become thorns. There was a lovely observation by C.S. Lewis, one of my favourite converts to Christianity. In his 1942 satirical novel, The Screwtape Letters, he says, "The safest road to hell is the gentle slope. Soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." Isn't that how temptation often works on all of us, me and you maybe? Not dramatically, gradually, almost unnoticed, like one tomato plant quietly swallowing another plant, or one tiny weevil quietly destroying a root. And then Jesus speaks about rocky ground, faith that springs up quickly but has no depth. How do roots become deep? Exactly as Adele reminded me, by deep watering the roots of our Christian faith. Daily prayer, reading the Bible, coming together every week in worship together. Reflective silence that brings God into our hearts to speak to us. Small habits, but repeated faithfully. None of them dramatic, but over time they send our roots deeper into Christ. And then when the storms inevitably arrive, and they always do in our lives, it is not the flashes of slightly clawing enthusiasm that sustain us, it's the depth of what we've invested in. Finally, though, encouragingly for us, this parable is not really about failure. It is about the astonishing generosity of the sower. He scatters seed everywhere, on hard ground, on rocky ground, amongst thorns, and on good soil. God never gives up sowing. God never gives up on wanting to chat to us. God never gives up hoping. Even when sometimes our hearts feel a bit cluttered, even when our faith might feel a little bit shallow, even if we think we might have left it too late. Tomorrow I'll probably wander back down the garden to my veg beds. I'll look at that enormous tomato plant. I'll water the pots on my patio, but from underneath by dumping them in great plastic trugs of water. I'll probably inspect them again for a few weevils. But before I do any of that, I hope I'll remember to ask God to garden my own heart, to pull out whatever is working away to choke the Christian life within me, to deepen my roots, to protect the hidden places of my soul. Because the most important garden any of us will ever tend is not the one outside our own back door. It's the one inside us. And thanks be to God, the head gardener never abandons the servant's garden. The head gardener works to strengthen the roots, remove the weeds, and protect the growing seed. And with God's grace, cultivates a harvest in us beyond anything we could ever imagine, 30, 60, or even 100 times more than we ever thought we could produce or were capable of producing on our own. So let us pray for that as we ponder a little more on what the parable of the sower and the hidden life within the garden means for us today. Amen.